Charlie and a few other friends. Chug a couple beers and talk politics. It's better with your two beers in.
We've been drinking some beers backstage.
Yep, we've got a great panel of journalists and comedians tonight. We've all been drinking. We had our first beer in the green room. We're going to have our second beer on stage. Cody and I, we are a married couple who loves beer and politics, so we decided to combine the two with this monthly show here at the UCB Theater, which is also a podcast. So subscribe, rate, and review.
I'm tripping. I'm having some problems with this mic cord today.
Well, just, you got to pull it. You need some more slack.
Okay, there we go.
So let's bring our panel out.
Shouldn't we plug our show next month?
Oh, we have a show next month.
Come
I believe it's May 29th.
You forget.
We've got, who do we already have some talent lined up?
Yeah. We drank too much very quickly. This is going to my head.
Let's bring out the panel. ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Michael Hartney. From School of Rock on Broadway and the UCB Theater.
Up next, Hello. We have a very respected journalist from MSNBC, Steve Kornacki.
Steve Kornacki. And finally, our returning champion. You know him from Iron Man 3, Adam Pally.
Give that intro for us like a C-.
That's definitely a C-.
Maybe a C- intro for us.
I tried to cut her losses and move it on, but you drug me back.
I keep pulling it back. I just want to point out that we are normally more artful in our... let's just get to the news. There's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of bullshit happening. How about that Mueller report, guys? Raise your hand if you read it. I know Steve has.
Did you read all 400 pages, Steve?
I think I'm required to say yes, no matter what the truth is.
Did you bring some cliff notes for the rest of us?
Yeah, people are divided over it.
Cool. What? Okay, we can move on.
Well, you don't need cliff notes. The bar notes were released, right? That's the cliff notes, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So, Steve, what was the newsroom like that day? I was watching MSNBC, and Ari Melber was his own little special desk reading in the corner.
We really like MSNBC.
What was it? Was it a big event? Were people going crazy?
Yeah, I wasn't in work that day. I don't know.
you had the day off. You're like, I don't work on Thursdays. Very important.
For me, selfishly, I had more of a chance to kind of sit back and observe, because I mean, I'm more elections. I'm more, you know.
You're the big board guy.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of said it early on with this thing. I do not have a law degree. I probably couldn't have gotten into law school. I don't know much about the FBI, so I observe it with everybody else. But it was, they went on live, 9 in the morning, and they were on, I think, without commercial break until sometime after 2, which never happened.
It didn't even come out until 2.
It came out. The report hit at like 10:30, 11 o'clock.
I was in L.A.
There was the press conference. Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Came out at 2 in L.A.,
You had the press conference from Barr at 9:30 Eastern time, and then it was just this slow, it's there, and then you got to start reading it, then you got to start analyzing it, and you watch the thing. It was like a Polaroid. You're watching it come into focus kind of over the course of 4 hours.
I definitely realized how much Twitter and all of that has sort of influenced the way I digest things, because... as soon as it came out, I was like, what are the takes? What are the hot takes? I couldn't stand that it took people 20 minutes to even look at it. I was like, no, tell me now. And it's 300 pages. But I realized that I have the attention span of a gnat.
But the funny thing about it is it still ended up in the same place everything else ends up with. Each side ended up finding the pages, the aspects, that it wanted to highlight and it wanted to run with. And we ended up... we had that hour where nobody knew quite what to make of it. Everybody figured out where they were supposed to be.
All right, so...
I got to tell you, I appreciate your accent when used in this forum on this on this topic. Because we're talking about, basically a crisis in American history. And you're reading it to me like it's the scores of the Boston Red Sox game. So I want to tell you, I appreciate that kind of you know what? It'll be what it'll be. It doesn't matter. We wash our hands of it. We go home. Some sites say they did. Some sites say they didn't. It doesn't matter. It's 400 pages. Whatever. We go home. I eat dinner. I go to sleep. It's all good. Right? Or it's not. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Right? I love that kind of candor.
Okay. So, Michael, should we impeach the president? We're just going to lay it out there. Just yes or no, that's it. And you have ultimate power right now, yes or no?
Yes. Yes.
Who would have said
you should impeach when a president commits crimes, and he has, and so you should. Yeah. Of course.
So I want to talk about this within the context of history with you, Steve, because your book, The Red and the Blue, is talking about the full title is The Roots of Political Tribalism in the 1990s, and you talk about the Clinton impeachment and sort of what went right and what went wrong with that for the Republicans. It is interesting that we're sort of in this reverse thing where, you know, the Republicans controlled the House at that time, Democrats controlled the Senate, and now it's completely flipped with a president who's accused of obstruction of justice. What were sort of the pitfalls of the Republicans trying to do that at the time? The
biggest one was the public wasn't for it. You know, and I mean, you say the framers, you know, the Constitution, founders of the country, made an intentional decision with impeachment, and they said we're not going to put this in the hands of the courts. It's not going to be up to a judge to decide the president is guilty of X, and therefore the penalty is he loses his office, or the penalty is he's censured.
Is that because they felt at the time, and there's no way to really know, but is that because they felt that there was no way at this level to judge without influence? When the decision is so dire, when you're talking about the leader of a country who may or may not be technically your boss, it would be impossible to put a verdict into place that was not somewhat influenced by said power.
I think the reason was you put it in the hands of the people, you put it in the hands of the legislative branch, you put it in the hands of Congress. You put it in the hands of the people.
Well, I mean, Sarah Huckabee says that Congress is the worst people to put it in front of.
I don't know if it should be or shouldn't.
They were too dumb to understand.
It's there to be a political question. You know?
Right, and that's for the legislative branch to decide.
So if I said, like, you know, I'm guilty of jaywalking, everybody knows what that is, right? I'm guilty of whatever. What is
I mean, it depends on what city you're in, because I've gotten a couple tickets in L.A. that I beg to differ on the defining meaning of jaywalking.
Have you been ticketed multiple times for
twice.
Jaywalking?
Twice.
Wow.
Yes.
It's hard for a
What's the penalty
New Yorker
for jaywalking?
$65 and the second time a court appearance. But I was also smoking marijuana.
But that's legal in L.A.
Yeah, but not in the public. Not walking from one side of Rodeo to the other.
Yeah.
It was a bit.
It was in Beverly Hills?
Beverly Hills. Okay, I was shopping, and yes. I was like, you know what? I'm going to get fucking high. I don't give a fuck. I reached into my pocket like it was cigarettes. It was not.
It's very dangerous to jaywalk in L.A., so like, if you're willing to take your life into your own hands like that, you shouldn't get a ticket.
That's how I feel.
You know what I mean? They're like, if you're willing to die for this, it must be important
to
you.
Well, the first time I was straight up just like, I'm from New York.
I know,
right?
And
I just like walked into traffic. Yeah. You know, I was like...
Why aren't these cars
It was
stuffing?
On La Brea, and I was just like, I want to go to that store. And was like, I'm not walking to the...
I'm not walking half a mile to the crosswalk.
No,
you
walking from Beverly to 3rd is the equivalent of going from 60th to 23rd.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to walk across the street.
Yes, you did the right
like,
thing.
Woo, woo, on a bike. Pulled
oh
over.
God.
And I was like, oh, motherfuck. Immediately, I'm like, drugs. Do I have drugs on me? Oh, my God. Thank God. And then he goes, like, do you know what you did? And I was like... I know you want me to say jaywalking, officer, but per my beliefs, no, I don't. That did not go well.
Wow.
Yeah, $65 taking the second time a court appearance.
I feel like you could get a job in the Trump administration with all of that sort of framing this law breaking in the way you wanted it to be.
Well, I broke the law, but I don't agree with the law.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like you could work in the Trump administration for that.
Well, no, they would never admit
to it. It's not illegal to take things from foreign governments and use them, according to Giuliani.
You want me to act like I'm in the Trump administration? You want me to act like Giuliani?
No.
What's the definition of taking? Who's to say what taking is? Sometimes we're giving. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't understand.
Walking, it was more of a jaunt.
Yeah, well, walking, I was standing still, moving my legs, but totally just in one place, going across the street.
So, Steve, so you say in the 90s, to get us back on track, you say in the 90s that...
our 30-minute deep dive into jaywalking.
That, you, that, that the public was not for it, right?
I think my jaywalking comment would set this up.
So, the Clinton's approval ratings were high, and they got higher after this. Trump's approval ratings are not so high. Right. You are the man that knows the statistics over there, the polls over there. Like, is the public for impeachment?
Right now, the polls say no. You know,
which is bonkers.
Well, I mean,
who are they polling?
The way I make sense of it is this: think back to Election Day in 2016. We took, you know, the exit poll.
May I not?
I believe that they are polling actual polls. They're walking up to polls with signs on them, and they're going, "Do you want impeachment? 3, 2, 1." This one says,
"I guess
nothing.
Not. I guess not."
Let's move on.
MoveOn.org. But they, if you looked at the exit polls in 2016, the vast majority of voters on Election Day said the following things about Trump. They said he is not honest. They said they do not like him personally. They do not consider him competent enough to be president, and they do not consider him qualified to be president. And that includes a significant number of people who actually voted for Donald Trump. About 1 in 5 Trump voters held all of the opinions I just said. So we've never in history had an electorate.
No, that's just racist.
But he had a penis and not a vagina.
Yeah, it's just straight up racism, misogyny. It's like those people will
Well, a lot of those people also, and I don't know the overlap with the exact demographic I'm talking about, but a lot of them also went Obama 2008, Obama 2012,
exactly.
Trump 2016.
Penis.
Obama is Michael Jordan.
Also, penis, vagina.
Yeah, but Obama was...
Has a penis.
Right, so you think Obama... You think Obama, had he had... Here's an interesting question. Sorry to... Am I asking the question?
Go for it.
Had Obama gotten a Bloomberg-esque third term approval to run, do you think he would have beaten Trump?
Because
I don't.
Really?
Yep, I don't.
Oh, I do.
I think this wave was coming.
I'm crying just thinking about
this. This is a corporate money wave that was coming, and like all this stuff you're seeing with Elizabeth Warren and taxing the rich, like that's the wave that is brewing. And this has started way back when that happened.
What I think is really funny, this is a little bit of a sidebar, but not really. Like the wheels of change in the government are really slow. So like if I enact a policy now, it takes a long time for it to really take the effects fiscally.
Except for marijuana legalization.
Exactly. That might happen fast. But so always it's like whoever's in charge gets the blame for things that they didn't really do, if that makes sense. Like right now, like Trump is benefiting from a good economy that really Obama, I mean, I'm not saying, he deserves some credit for some of the economy, but like really Obama was the one who set a lot of this stuff in motion. I've said this on the podcast before, like I'm a little sad because even if a Democrat wins, a recession is coming, and I feel like it's gonna hit when there's a whoever wins 2020
happens.
Is gonna be saddled with the recession that is not their fault. It's gonna happen like 6 months into their presidency, and it's gonna be their fucking fault. So if it is Elizabeth Warren or whatever, people are going to be like, that fucking Democrat, whatever. It's like, oh, God.
But that's how it goes.
We're moving towards it now.
But people hate the cops, you know, right? And I'm not talking about the bad ones that, like, you know.
The catch for jaywalking.
Or shoot innocent people of color. Oh, yeah. Like, I'm not talking about the bad cops. I'm talking, like, the actual policemen, right? Like, everyone is nervous when cops come around, right? Democrats, in some ways, in the past couple years, I'm not saying they're not corrupt, but to me, they're like the police, and everyone hates the police. Everyone hates the teachers. Everyone hates their parents because they know they're right, right? And they know that those rules, they know that those rules are there for a reason. So everybody else is trying to skirt the rules. And what the Republicans have done, which is why I will give credit to Trump for the economy, because lifting all those sanctions, of course, you're going to get a boost because all these major corporations are skirting laws and fucking getting that little bit of profit that to us we're like, what do I care if Amazon gets 0.5 whatever? It's like, well, that's $400 billion. So all these companies, yeah, stocks go up. Everybody who owns stock, it's like the economy is doing great. The same thing will happen as always happens is that sometime people will be like, I'd like to cash this check, please. And they'll be like, well, there's no real estate economy. That was all a lie.
Right. Middle class and poor people don't benefit from that because they don't have stocks. And
right.
They don't have.
And, but even now we're going to see the upper middle really take a hit because they're the ones now that are like, I want to fly private. I want to, you know. So the upper middle is going to take a hit where they go like, wait a minute, these
these stocks won't pay out. I can't pay out because they're not regulated and there was really not a business there at all. And it's all a lie. But wait a minute, there's no bailout for an auto industry now? Like, that is coming.
It is.
And there's no
more
money.
Is it going to happen when, or it's some economic downturn is going to come. Is it going to happen in 2020? I don't know.
Maybe it'll happen now.
I want to go back to impeachment because I know, Michael, you say like, well, yes, of course. But like, impeachment is an inherently political thing. Do you think it is good to impeach? Or do you think we have to just based on the fact that crimes exist?
I would have impeached him after the Lester Holt interview. Where he very clearly says
your colleague,
a crime.
Steve.
He's like, hello, Lester. I would like to confess to a deep crime I've committed. I lied earlier about why I fired James Comey. And now I'm telling you the real reason, which is a crime. And please, someone cuff me. Take me away, good sirs.
Yeah, but that's, I mean,
I would have done that then. I just feel like, you know.
Well, that's what's been infuriating with this Mueller report is like we've already everything that came out has like been a slow trickle, and we've gotten so much of this stuff over the last 3 years leaked out because of like, you know, the New York Times and other like journalists. So that
we
by
know
the time
almost
it comes
all
out,
of it.
We were like, we already knew all this shit. Like nothing's new, and unless there was that literal like tape recording of Trump's prostitutes peeing all over a bed,
even that wouldn't matter.
That's not a crime.
I think the interesting...
That's my favorite thing about him.
It's the most likable. On that point, though, another question. I hate to be asking questions.
Please do.
Why hasn't the media more... And this is probably...
The media is right next to you, Adam.
Please use me as a stand-in for all your grievances against the media.
Right here.
Although, honestly, your accent throws me off as part of the media.
I don't even hear your accent.
What's my accent?
Steve?
I don't know. It just reminds me of like a very mad. It's like a neighbor that's upset with me.
Well, you've been jaywalking lately. So.
but I asked the media, like, why has the Mueller report not been this fucking giant? But bing, everything I told you was true. We've been called fake news for the last fucking 4 years, going back to since he rode the elevator down. How come the media hasn't grabbed that Mueller report and gone, okay, fine. You don't want to impeach him. You don't want to commit a crime. Fine. Everything I said was true. Everything the Steele report said was true. Why aren't they doing that? Why aren't they holding it up and being like, New York Times, we told it. You knew this. We read it and we're like, yeah, we knew it. But like, it's kind of fake news too, right?
I think you got to be fair here. One of the aspects of the Mueller report is that the Steele dossier was not true.
What do you mean, the P tape? What part? Wait, now I didn't know
no,
that.
I mean, if you read, like, the New York Times over the weekend, and this is, I think this would be responsible media coverage. The New York Times over the weekend started to take a look at the Steele dossier, which was essentially discredited by the Mueller report.
Which part?
The Steele dossier?
Yeah. Like, is the peeing?
You just mentioned one of the. You just mentioned one of the.
So the peeing didn't happen.
Nothing.
Then how come I don't know that? Like, that's the other thing. How come no one's like, hey, that story was wrong. So those people were lying. But these stories, this 400 pages, that was true. How come no one said that?
I think there were two aspects to the Mueller report, right? You know, one was about the question of collusion, about, like, was there a conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russia? And they didn't find anything. So there was a lot of stuff I think has been floating around there for 2 years.
So what they're trying to explain, this is why the media can't break through, Steve.
This is what I mean about two versions. So if you watch conservative Trump-friendly media or you consume it, you will hear all about how the Steele dossier was discredited. All the claims about Trump's been a Russian agent for 30 years, you know, Putin had compromise on him, all this stuff, you will hear that the Mueller report didn't establish any of that. If you're watching vehement anti-Trump media, you will hear about the second half of the Mueller report, which is, okay, a special counsel was put in power about 2 years ago to investigate Trump, and here, during the course of the special counsel's investigation, are 10 instances where Trump had some intent, potentially, to obstruct the investigation, obstruct justice. And that's what I mean when I said earlier, everybody got their own narrative. That's what I mean.
Well, this is why I was sort of...
Would you do that to a woman?
What?
Would, I do, would you make her read the Mueller report? Would you please do, women I, and men?
Would you use the language? Would you get into such semantics? Would you break it down to the point and go, well, he technically, you know, it's like talking to fucking Woody Allen. It's like everybody that read the Mueller report is like, you know what, technically, he didn't really, there is all this over here, but like, what about all this over here and all this, like, look. Just fucking look what happened. Look what is happening.
Right, but you know, I this is what I think about all of it, is that we had all these, like, drips and... First of all, what the fuck do you mean when you say that to a woman?
Because I don't...
I'm sorry.
I don't think that they would.
I'm the only woman on this panel. What?
I don't think they would. I think
what
if
do you
a woman...
Mean to
because
that to
I think
a woman,
if Trump was
you mean
a
if
woman,
Trump was a woman. Okay, I was confused. Like, would Steve say to
Trump,
women viewers...
No, if Trump was a
we
woman...
We hear things differently because we have delicate ears.
I know.
No, okay. Now I,
Trump,
get, I get
if
what you're saying.
If Trump was
now.
A woman, but they or a minority, if Trump was Obama...
Or a Democrat.
Or a Democrat. Thank you for this side of the room. If Trump was a Democrat...
Trump once was a Democrat.
Right, but they wouldn't do this. They would not do this. They would not... There would be no power... To argue the semantics
sure.
of an American crisis.
But it also,
I mean, wait a minute, I'm sorry. The last president who was impeached was Bill Clinton, and he argued the meaning of the word is. There certainly
yeah.
was an appetite to argue semantics
job.
With a, you know.
That was a fucking blowjob. We're talking about different, then that's the problem. We're
that,
talking
well,
he, about
was,
different specifics.
Again, the argument back then was it perjury? Because it was, he did commit perjury.
I also love
Clinton
to.
Clinton did make a literal
I
semantic
love to
argument.
That, like,
but,
like,
yes.
Like, Trump legit just, like, gets spanked on the ass by a porn star, and that's not even
we
anywhere
even talking
near
about
we're talking
that.
About.
And he perjured himself on that.
We're literally, like, no
he perjured,
one gives
like,
a
he
shit.
Perjured, I don't think
he lied.
Himself.
He lied.
He lied about it.
He 100% did in front of a court.
It's just been years and years of deal breakers. Just over and over.
Yeah.
It's like every single thing should be a deal breaker.
Yeah, but that's
to
the problem.
All 60-some
million of you. I mean, yeah. There's...
But we're so nervous. And even Obama, the way he handled Trump during that election, everybody is so nervous.
They didn't think he was going to win.
He should not have been allowed to take office. The Electoral College should not
have. Should have stopped it.
We all should have. We accidentally elected a pathological liar because of a campaign from a foreign government, and he should not have been allowed to take
exactly.
office. And that's the end of it.
100% but end
he,
of story.
But he did take office, and now we have to fucking deal with it and
know,
pretend
but,
like,
but
you
every
know.
Time we go back to deal with it, we eschew that because we go, well, we got to be fair. We got everybody take
I
a
know.
Look at everything. Everybody look at all of it, you know? And it's like, we don't know. Even Obama was like, look, man, my hands are tied. You know, like,
he's windsurfing.
Like,
he's busy.
I can't get involved. My hands are tied.
Mitch McConnell says we shouldn't talk about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, Mitch is like, don't, and I got other things. It's like, like, everybody doesn't want to just say what it is. Whether or not he intentionally did this crime or not.
Well, wait, which crime? Because a minute ago, you had him guilty of the Steele dossier. Well, and I think that might be part of the disconnect here, where when there's speculation for 2 years at
I need
that
another
level,
beer.
And
who
it's
cares?
Not,
if he's committed, if
well,
he's
which,
guilty,
well, which guilty of what?
If he's what does it matter if he's guilty of one and not guilty of the other?
Well,
if he's guilty of one, he's guilty of
one. One is espionage at the highest level we have ever seen with a president of the United States, where he is literally compromised. By a foreign head of state.
And that is the same.
The other is he wanted to obstruct an investigation and he didn't.
Oh, he tried. He didn't because everyone was
that's
like,
the
this fucking idiot wants me to go to jail.
I'm only saying
but
that's
you know
the basis
what it,
of a political...
But you know what this goes back to? There's no nuance anymore. We can't absorb anything with nuance. It has to be like guilty, not guilty, like blowjob, no blowjob. Like we have to, you know,
or
it's hard.
Or blowjob equals stealing an election and...
I agree. I agree. I understand that. I know that there. I just think that in general, the public can't just say like, "Yeah, there was no like, you know, smoking gun like there, but there's so much smoke. You know, it's just we can't."
There's been like 15 guns.
I know.
I mean, like, how many guns? Like his taxes. His like, how many more guns do you want? The open dialogue of racism. Coming down the stairs and going, all Mexicans
sure.
are rapists.
But that's not the that's
don't
not the Mueller report.
I don't care if it's a court of law. It's the American president. We threw up like, and that's what I'm saying. Like we were
that's
all
not
the
Mueller report.
The argument here is, where do you settle this? This is what I was trying to say earlier when I say it's
I don't
a political
know.
Process.
I think we've gone.
Well, we have an election in less than 2 years.
It's
and
not
every
gonna
person
work.
In the country gonna get over a voting age gonna get a chance to vote
it's
on it.
It's not gonna work.
So his tax
well,
return
it might because we're gonna talk about 2020. Charlie, I'm sorry. Were you going to say something?
Yes. His tax returns came up, and I'm just curious because the other thing that's been going on in the last week is that the Trump administration is just saying no to everything, right? There's, you know, the House wants to subpoena Don McGahn, and the Trump administration is saying no, just say no. They're, you know, trying to get the tax returns. They keep getting these deadlines.
Bar waivers.
And the Trump administration is just saying no. And can they get away with that? You know, I mean, do you guys think that we'll see the taxes?
No. I mean, this sounds like what innocent people do. It all checks out for me.
No, you will never see the taxes. You won't see the taxes.
If someone's like, see my taxes, I'm like, you're right, I don't know. Sure.
How many people the IRS have access to these taxes? Isn't there somebody who can get them on a server and like hit copy-paste and throw them in an email?
Some bank just start leaking Trump's information to someone?
Deutsche Bank?
What's that?
Deutsche Bank.
Deutsche Bank, great.
Well, I haven't seen it yet.
That's like literally the only bank name I know.
Chase Bank? Bank
of America? You bank at Deutsche Bank?
No, but like in this context. Like, you know, no one's ever like, oh, Trump's got his stuff at Citizens United.
Yeah, he's at...
he's at Wells Fargo.
Oh, Trump's got his Wells Fargo
checking
account.
He loves that coin machine.
Wait, Citizens United is a bank now?
Also a field house and a...
All right, let's transition to 2020 because let's look to the future and look to hope.
Hartney, Joe Biden's about to enter the race. Who's your favorite old white dude that's about to run?
No. My answer
so
to that
is
no. No, ma'am. No. First of all, I mean, this is terrible news. Earlier you were talking as though, like, it's a given that a Democrat, a non-Trump, will win this election.
No. I 100% have no faith in the American electorate.
I'm terrified.
Yeah.
So the question is, old white man or just white man?
Who's your favorite old white man?
Old white man.
Or white man.
I mean, my favorite old
white
man,
because you can't possibly like a woman.
I've been reading a lot of interesting stuff about Bernie. Bernie's having a bit of a positive PR comeback this week, in my opinion. Yeah.
Okay.
Do tell.
Well, I think that anytime you're the number one enemy of like the big corporations, there's a liberal push under to be like, look at this guy. He's actually, you know, speaking the right things as opposed to him being like, you know, a Bernie bro who also has tax issues. So I feel like this past week for Bernie, at least on my feed, has been more positive than other weeks for him, because he had a rough couple months.
Sure,
did he? I mean, he's raised a ton of money, right?
But maybe the court of public.
I think the court of public opinion.
The court of Twitter. Okay.
Yeah. Harney, who do you like?
The court of Twitter. Who do I like? Yeah. I like Elizabeth Warren.
Yes. So tell us why.
I just think she has good policies, and I think that she seems like a normal human being. Who's not a full villain.
Sure. Does it bother you that she has a vagina, or are you okay
no,
with it?
No, I'm...
Pro.
I guess I'm enticed by the vagina, which is truly the only time I've ever said that sentence.
Good to know.
Are you excited about the possibility of a gay president?
I am excited by the possibility of a gay president. He is not my number one, but like...
But you like Pete Okay?
There's things about him that are good. There's things about them that are not great, but...
Fish is not great.
What?
Fish.
Fish is bad.
Fish
bad
is bad.
Fish is his best quality.
That's a full hate crime.
And I love Fish.
Adam, you've really stepped in it. Charlie's favorite band in the entire world is Fish.
I love Fish. We've seen Fish shows together. I don't want my president having a 42-hour... A fucking inauguration jam.
But let's be clear. On the matter of Fish, Pete Buttigieg, he just like mentioned Fish in one tweet.
Someone asked him who he'd want to play
at his inauguration.
Oh, and he said Fish.
And he said Fish, and I was like, Are you?
No,
out
no,
of your
no.
Mind?
Charlie is now
I
full in for
Fish
Pete Buttigieg.
To play anything with time related.
Charlie is 100% for Pete now. You're Mayor Pete
all
the way.
No, I mean, I've cooled on Pete a little bit since the last podcast just because of some of these town halls where he sort of gives a wishy-washy answer and he's not quite as liberal as maybe I need him to be. But I did see the video of him sitting in with Ben Folds and playing Ben Folds' piano beautifully. And I saw the video of him being interviewed after the Notre Dame fire by a French news agency in fluent French. And the guy's fucking impressive.
I saw him design a flux capacitor that works.
Yeah. I saw him lift a bus off a kid in a wheelchair.
Incredible.
That's Cory Booker.
No, I think he's good. No, I'm definitely pro Pete. I like Pete.
Just the idea that he made his announcement for president and kissed his husband.
And no one said anything.
And it's not fire and brimstone. Like two idiots with, you know, a YouTube channel yelled about it. That is very inspiring and like light years ahead of where I thought we'd be
if
now.
If Pete becomes the nominee, what is Trump's nickname for him?
Gay Pete.
I mean, do you think he does that?
Yes.
Gay Pete. Oh. I mean, he called the Democrats
I think it'll be like Little Pete. Like something Little to emasculate Pete. His penis.
He'll definitely do this. Little Pete.
He'll probably
Little
call
Pete,
him...
Yeah. Little Pete.
He'll probably call him Buttfuck Pete. Right?
Yeah.
Pete... Pack Fudge Fudge?
Pete Butterfuck?
So, oh, maybe.
Yeah.
I think he'll do, all his gay references will be like the gay references of like your grandfather. Like they will be so... He'll be like, well, Pete's a friend of Barbara. And you're like... I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Oh, the old pickle shiner?
Yeah. It'll be so... It will not make sense. It'll sound like he's calling him words that are put together for no reason. It'll have like dementia.
We're not endorsing any of these slurs.
Joe Biden is apparently going to finally get in the race on Thursday, and he's just had such the luxury of being the front runner, not only this campaign, but also the 2016 campaign that he never got in, and we just kept hearing about maybe he's going to get in. And from a polling perspective, Steve, I'm curious, like the moment he gets in, do his numbers go down? Like, is he just the front runner because he's not in the race yet?
His net favorable score for the first couple months of this year is going down 15 points. So he has taken
due to all the accusations of touching.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people are digging through his record. They're finding things that get a little bit of oxygen in the media. That story did something. He is significantly stronger on that question, favorable, unfavorable, than the rest of the field. I think there's a lot of goodwill toward him. There's a huge, when you look inside the numbers, there is a huge age gap where if you look at Democrats who are over the age of 50, he wins by double digits.
They're going to fuck us.
If you look at Sanders in that same poll, he's in single digits. Then you go under 50, and Sanders is in first place, and Biden's fading.
Fucking
so there's a
baby
huge
boomers.
Age gap there. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. The baby boomers just on the right side and the left side, they're all so fucking dumb. It's crazy.
Sorry if there's any baby boomers in our audience. We love you, and thanks for coming.
You're
probably the good ones.
You're our parents.
You're probably the good ones.
Yeah, my parents are baby.
But
look at it. It's like
it is hard. It's like we've been talking about Biden, and you know, it's like I don't begrudge him for being a posy old dude. Like that's just the generation, right? To be posy and not realize. No, listen. This is what my point is. Is like I don't think you can be president
if you're posy.
Yeah, I just like this is my point. I feel like okay.
Can we say handsy, please?
No, he's posy.
Posy is really freaking me out.
No. Oh, no. P-A-W-S.
I'm warm to it. It's not part of my lexicon.
Handsy? Okay. I don't know. Guys, two beers.
He's posy.
Pawing at you.
He
it's
does
pawing
have fat
at you.
Hands.
Big old paw pads.
It's a pawing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he's got pink bubbles.
My point is this. Go quietly into the night. Be a respectable old grandpa that everyone liked, that you would be known for starting the cancer moonshot. Like, do that, you know?
How are his teeth polling?
Are you pro or con?
Oh, very much con.
He's got bad teeth? I don't know. I can't think
of... He's got veneers. Fine. Big, chompy
veneers. He's
got veneers
that literally look like the other definition of veneer, like a blind. Like a vertical blind.
Okay, so we talked
not
about...
Not even the baby boomers like that joke of a veneer? God, you are the worst.
So
we love you guys.
I want to talk about the other primary and if the other primary is going to happen. Because increasingly, this week for the first time, I'm hearing more and more about these never-Trump Republicans that are allegedly going to primary Trump.
Michael Hartney is giving the biggest eye roll
so
ever,
Bill
which
Weld,
you can't
Larry
hear on our
Hogan.
Podcast.
I don't think John Kasich's actually going to do it. He's been pretending to do it for a long time. But this guy, Bill Weld, I think is already running. And Larry Hogan, these are governors. One's a sitting governor. Steve, do you think this is real?
So Bill Weld, among other things, governor of Mass 20-something years ago, was the Libertarian nominee for vice president in 2016 with Gary Johnson. And his most famous moment on the campaign trail was when Gary Johnson couldn't answer a question about Syria. Weld tried to jump in and save him. Weld was able to answer it. In the final days of the campaign, Weld went on national television, that included my network, MSNBC, And he said he wanted to vouch for the character of Hillary Clinton. He went to law school with her at Yale in the 70s. And he encouraged folks who were in swing states that could decide the election, cast a vote, you know, lesser to vote for Hillary Clinton.
Not for Gary Johnson.
So I don't think the Republican Party is going to be too eager to warm up to somebody whose last major public act was vouching for Hillary Clinton's character on the eve of the election. Now wants the Republicans.
Well, clearly the Republicans will vote for Trump, but will this actually be a primary that gets covered? Will it at least be a thorn in Trump's side?
The one advantage Weld has going for him is he was the governor of Massachusetts, and he is still, there is some residual familiarity in southern New Hampshire with him. So if he went, what he's going to do is camp out in New Hampshire for the next 9 months. Small state, small voting universe.
That doesn't sound bad. That sounds like a kind of good job.
Pat Buchanan in 92 got 37% in the New Hampshire primary against George H.W. Bush, and it constituted a political crisis for Bush. I think that's they're trying to get over 30 probably.
That is insane.
Here's the reality, though. Trump's approval rating with Republicans has been a flat line, and it sits at 89%. And that is higher than every modern president with their own party at this point, save for George W. Bush, who still at this point was, it was Iraq war at this point, it had just been launched.
Now, do we know if that's similar to like ratings on CBS where like a lot of them have died and no one has checked if the TV was left on?
Fox News ratings as well.
Name one cast member of NCIS. I dare you.
You can't, because the only people watching
Pete
that show
Buttigieg.
Are dogs, are the dogs of the deceased.
Those guys are making fucking bank, though.
Yeah, no, it's true. I would take that.
I'm available. When is the last time a sitting president had a primary?
Well, George, 92.
92. George it's been that long.
The last time he had a real primary challenge. Yeah.
And there wasn't there wasn't a debate or anything.
No.
Right? Did
Jimmy
George
H.W. Bush refused to mention him pretty much.
Did Jimmy Carter have to debate Ted Kennedy?
No, just because the hostage crisis had started, and Carter's strategy was, I don't believe in campaigning. I'm going to stay in the Rose Garden. And so he was able to avoid.
Winning strategy.
He sent
real winning strategy.
To debates with Ted Kennedy, and yeah, it was a Rose Garden strategy. It
did not work.
Ford and Reagan, that's the last time you had a, you know, Ford, Reagan, 76, I think the last time you had a president really engaged in, you know, direct combat with
him. Trump's not likely to engage. I mean, he doesn't show up to the correspondence dinner. He didn't show up to one of the Republican debates last time.
I think he likes the idea of having somebody on the ballot
who
the media's going to pay attention to.
It's TV time. To me, I bet he does. I think he looks at those things like, stand-up hours. And, like, I'm serious. If you told Trump that this would be a debate between a Republican candidate, he wouldn't think, oh, it'll go bad. He'll think, I'm going to get out there and get mop the floor with them and get some laughs. I'm going to do the same thing I do with Hillary. He'll, like, I think he will debate. And I think everyone will be like, don't debate, don't debate. And he will be right. Because once he gets back out there and shows that fucking blonde wig, everybody loses their mind, and they love him, and I think that he will debate, and they will be like free events for him, similar to what happened in the last election, and the media will give him billions of dollars worth of coverage off of his debates.
Michael, you mentioned Elizabeth Warren, and she just came out with a new proposal that using her millionaire's tax, she's going to pay for college loan forgiveness for people who make, yes, thank you, under $100,000 a year. Now, I know we're all supposed to, who've paid off our loans, supposed to be pissed, right? Isn't that what that one guy said?
Yes.
That's not fair to those of us who worked hard to pay off our loans.
Yes, I hope gay men stop taking PrEP.
Yes, exactly.
It's unfair to the people who were lost to the
AIDS
crisis in the 80s. I'm being sarcastic. That's untrue.
A lot of baby boomers in the audience.
Yeah, a lot of baby boomers.
They're like, oh, I guess I shouldn't. Do you think this could be like the turning point, like an issue that might get all the young people to go out to vote? If she's for this and legal weed, is that going to like push us over the edge and make all the young people come out?
I mean, I don't know. These are not the sexiest of topics.
Because if I were 20...
She doesn't denigrate heads of state and
if I were 24, I mean, honestly, when I graduated college, the first thing I did was I went and bought a lottery ticket. It was like devastating. That first bill I got, I was like, what the fuck? I have a theater degree? Are you fucking kidding me? Mistake, guys. Huge mistake. I guess I'm using it, but whatever. My point is, like, if when I was 24, if I had heard that, I would have been like, oh, you couldn't have gotten me to the polls fast enough.
I hope it's so. An energizing topic. I don't know. Hopefully the sum total of all of her policies will be exciting and energizing. I like this, obviously. She's going after big corporations, which I think is good,
yeah.
despite also being a capitalist. I don't know. I don't know. I know that she needs to stop gingerly sipping beer on Instagram videos.
Guys, I'm out
Facebook
drinking
Live or whatever
beer.
That was.
Her
My
image.
Dog is so popular.
Hi, it's nice to see you. I'm glad you're here at the home we share. I'm going to have a fermented barley. What's it called? She was trying so hard to like be a cool person.
She needs a PR.
Yeah, but
person.
Again, that's a baby boomer thing, right?
Yes, she's hey her guys. Hubris is. You know what? Elizabeth Warren's hubris is hurting her. She needs a young Hollywood PR person to get in there and be like, "Stop talking to the camera."
Yeah, that whole 23andMe, that was
Stop
pure
it.
Hubris, and
yeah,
that was
it's so
bad.
Much. It's so much hubris, and it's a baby boomer thing where it's like, "I'll figure it out."
Yeah, but
you know, I can do this. And then a young person comes in the room and they're like, "How are you telling me? You're younger than me."
How about Biden's like apology video, which was vertical on an iPhone, was sort of like, I felt like he hired a young PR guy and the guy just like phoned it in and he was like, "We'll do it like we do on Snapchat." I don't know.
I'm surprised there were like cool. filters and polls.
Yeah, I know. That,
but
it felt
that's when,
so
But that's when a grandpa is like, again, that's a hubris, another hubris of a baby boomer, because a grandpa's like, "Anybody out here want to help me?" You know, he's like, "I don't know. This is not important. This isn't important. It's a phone. It's a video. Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing."
I think
and
someone
so like,
younger
just
was like,
this video.
"Let's make it like not a big deal. If we do it vertical, they're just going to think it's like a whatever situation." Anyway,
I felt like
felt
it was
weird.
Joe being like, "It's not a big
do you
deal."
Know, you know, Biden's not even he's not a baby boomer. He's the generation before.
So he's dumb.
Oh, my God.
So we had seven straight presidents from what they called the GI generation. And that went from John F. Kennedy through George H.W. Bush.
He's John F. Kennedy's
fucking
generation?
No. They call it, fittingly, the silent generation. So that you had the GI generation, you know, that famously saved the world from Hitler.
I have said this
Then you
before.
Had the silent generation. And then you had the baby boomer generation that made a lot of noise. No, but the silent generation has not produced a single president. And everybody thought the moment had passed. It was never going to happen. And now at the age of 78.
No.
Or Sanders, 79, you have two candidates.
Guys, I can't.
Who could be the first silent generation president in 2021.
Wait, I am anti-old white man. I
they
am. I'm sorry. I don't care.
They should not be allowed to drive.
Because honestly, like, guys, I love my grandma, but like, you know, that generation, everybody is like, we're trying to figure out like what we're going to do in the next 4 years when they can't drive anymore and we've got to like whatever. They're not fucking running for president.
But isn't Trump in that same generation?
Yes.
No, he's 46. So
he's 46?
The number of candidates who will be on election day over 70 years old, we've shattered a record here. Elizabeth Warren will be over 70. Bill Weld will be over 70. Trump already is over 70. Biden, we have five septuagenarian candidates.
That is disgusting.
Two of whom, if elected, will be octogenarians while serving.
I am looking forward.
Take them out to a farm and shoot them.
No.
Adam, I just got your approval numbers amongst...
And they're huge among the youth. The only people that matter.
Adam Bally's approval numbers amongst this audience.
Any old people in the audience. I cannot be more clear about this. Your time is over. It is started. You are dying the moment you are born, and now you are closer to that. You two in the suits. Almost done. There, you are closer to not wearing a suit every day than I am to wearing a suit every day. You get that? Stop making decisions for me.
So, wisdom.
Organized by iPhone, motherfucker. You can't. Wisdom is bullshit. Wisdom is bullshit. It's about tech. It's about learning.
Now,
and incorporating
this lady it. Can, and I will say, here's why. Because women, no matter the age, are more intelligent and organized than men.
Of course.
For those listening at home.
I am anti-old white man. I am not anti-old white woman.
No.
There's a difference.
No, but I am anti-old white woman of the silent generation. The ones that are, like, even in themselves, not... I mean, it's not fair because there's such an ingratiated level of white male privilege.
What generation was Obama?
He was a boomer. 46 to 64. He was 61, so he was the end of the boomer generation.
Yeah, young boomer. Not have, that's what the prequel have, so Netflix show about.
Guys, little known fact, Obama is very close to my parents' age. That's
are
what
we
happens
have
when
a
you
Gen X
get pregnant in high school, guys.
We could go Gen X. who's if Buttigieg won, you would have a Gen X.
No, he's not Gen X, though.
81, right?
No.
I think he's 38.
I think he's
a millennial.
I think he's an old millennial.
No, that's Gen X.
I don't want to split
83. Hairs, how dare you? Superman 3 is the cutoff.
No. I thought it was 81. I thought it was 81 was millennial.
There's a special category for people between like 79. I would say 78. I was born December 78. 78 and like 82 who don't feel like Gen X or millennial.
We do not. We're not Gen X.
We got the internet. We got the internet at the end in high school.
We got it late. We had Prodigy.
Yeah, we had Prodigy. I was just like, we got laid. I was like, yeah, I guess we got laid.
But it's true. Yeah. We're not Gen X. Gen X didn't have the internet in college.
Gen X,
like,
did,
the
Gen X are people
who...
I did not.
The internet didn't... No.
You're younger than me.
Where did you go?
I went to the University of Arizona. But the internet... I had the internet, but it was not what we think of as the internet. Like, in order to get information and stuff, like, you had to go to, like... slow-serving
dial-up. But we had the internet. I mean, people 4 years older than us literally had no internet. They were writing on, like, a, you know, fucking typewriter.
Which is insane, and that's why there's such a division of knowledge.
That's what I'm saying. They're a different generation.
Yeah, because, like...
Hartney and I are the same age. We're 2 days apart.
It's true.
That's adorable.
And you identify as Gen X.
Areas are strong.
Born in 1980, you identify as Gen X.
I have been told this, yeah.
Okay. No, I think if Buttigieg is 37, I'm doing the math, he'd be millennial. And then O'Rourke would be Gen X.
O'Rourke is a Gen X candidate.
Right, so you'd have O'Rourke. Is, you know.
Yeah, but O'Rourke's like 40-something. He's in his 40s.
O'Rourke
is
1970, I think.
Yeah,
he was,
that's
so.
That's Gen X.
O'Rourke
sure.
was in like a punk band, you know, in the 90s. He's very Gen X.
Yeah, he's like Kurt Novoselic.
He's like the bassist for Nirvana, yes. All right, well, we figured out the generations of everybody who's running for president. Pally, do you have a candidate? You've been talking a lot of shit up here. Do
Camilla
you have somebody
Harris.
You're excited about? You like
Kamala Harris is my candidate. I love her. I think, you know...
You're so California. You're hoping to get pardoned for those jaywalking tickets. I know this senator from
my
California.
Did my day. No, I like... I don't know if it's possible, because I think that she's very progressive, and I think that some of her policies, like you're talking about legalizing marijuana, the thing I love about her... is that her focus on legalizing marijuana is not about the industry. It has nothing to do with the idea that this could boom or tax money. It's about the idea that this is a product that has falsely landed the black man in jail. And so that is the, like, before we rectify that, we can't legalize it across the country. She's the only candidate that is saying that. You know, she's the only one that is really going at the heart of legalizing marijuana. So I think like that is important. And then I you know, similarly to Elizabeth Warren, I like her stance on student debt, and I want a woman, and so she's younger than Elizabeth Warren. Not that that's, you know,
we've established your hatred of old people.
Yes,
you're enticed by a younger vagina.
Yes, that is not the first time I've said that.
Not too young.
No. Okay. A legal vagina.
Oh God.
I'm
oh,
way
boy.
Legal. I mean, I'm. A
I'm gonna
man
get
of...
a text from your wife, Adam.
I'm a man of distinction. But I. Yeah. So Camilla Harris. I think I've said the right. Camilla Harris.
Okay. All right. Let's get into some random topics to wrap it up here. Mitch McConnell came out for raising the smoking age to 21. What does the panel think about that?
Who cares?
I do. Do it. I love it. Fuck it. Tobacco
I'm sort of
kills.
But I mean, I hate smoking with all my being. I think it's a disgusting, terrible habit that the government should try to discourage. But I am also have always been compelled that the drinking age should be 18, and if you go to war, you should be able to drink. So I guess you should be able to smoke too. I don't know. And Mitch McConnell's for it, so I'm a little suspicious.
I don't like it for that reason. I also think it's...
Also, he's from Kentucky. Isn't that a big tobacco state?
Apparently, the tobacco industry is for it, and I think it's because all the young kids are juuling, and they just want it to be harder for them to get Juul, you know, the vapes to buy the Juul permits, I guess. Maybe. I mean, I don't know.
Interesting.
I think that Mitch McConnell is probably doing exactly that, and I feel like it is suspect that any Republican whose main you know,
constituency.
Constituency is about lessening the amount of influence the government has, would then say we want to raise an
age. Isn't 21 like a fucking dumb made up number anyway? Like, didn't they just like randomly change the drinking age to 21 because of like drunk driving things? But this was also when people didn't have seatbelts and shit.
1984, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, pre-seatbelt.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you. No, no, I
don't know. Seatbelts came out in 87,
I was talking to somebody recently about car seats, and I was like, boy, back in my day, we got in the back of a pickup. There were like 50 kids in the back of a pickup truck.
But Ralph Nader did like invent the seatbelt in the late 70s, right? It's not that far off, right?
Anyway,
and
bottom line,
invented the internet
in
like 90.
I hate smoking, but you're right. I mean, if you can go die for your country or have a baby or like anything, yeah, it's insane that you can't.
I do actually believe in smokers' rights.
Wow.
I know.
You're anti-old people and pro-smoker.
You think we should smoke
this
in bars?
This is a real dying demographic.
Smoke in their homes there should be, at age 18 if
I think
want.
I think a bar, if a bar says we smoke in here, it's your, as the patron.
The market will decide.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's sort of free market Republican capitalism.
I'm a capitalist for sure. Yeah. I have a sneaker collection. But I feel that you'd be remiss to not be like, well, here are areas where this crevice does not line up with what I believe.
Yeah. Okay.
But that
quick.
Becomes a worker safety issue as well.
Exactly. Thank you. Sure. Thank you, someone who's waited tables too. I appreciate it.
Sure,
yes,
but the
right.
But you could also
sign off on something.
That.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
There's ways around it before going. The public is not allowed something.
For the first time, a distributor of oxycodone and other painkillers has been criminally charged, for its role in America's opioid crisis. Do you think this is going to help deter bad behavior in the future?
I hope so. I'd like those people killed in front of me. I'd like to see them torn apart by wolves.
You're calling for a wolf murder on the on the Sackler family.
Yes. Frankly, in the past 2 years, there's been an increasing number of people I would totally watch killed on television.
I understand that like there's a lot of issues we have with like incarcerating people, but it does feel this thing of like, it's nice for them to not be able to pay their way out of it, right? To not be able to be like, oh, I made $500 million, here's $50 million. You know what I mean? Because that doesn't fucking mean anything to them.
Nothing.
To be able to like go to prison is like, yeah.
I hate
yeah.
This is going to be another controversial where I deviate. I hate the drug companies as much as anyone. But I feel like one of the areas that this opioid crisis and the energy that's being directed toward it is misrepresented is in mental health. And it's similar with guns. Where we're patching up the wound and we're not looking at the disease, and like oftentimes I don't know the exact statistic, but addiction is often related to mental health, and the fact that anything you can get addicted to is not dealt with. If you want to talk about help from the government,
right? But
you know,
these people knew that these things were addictive, and
those,
they were
of course,
them on purpose.
Of course, they pushed them on doctors and all that stuff, and the Shkreli shit. It's
because
fucked.
I agree, addiction. We all know that addiction is a mental health issue, and that people have certain varying levels of addiction. But this was like
that part
people
is fucked.
People were getting.
I guess
I mean,
I that part is fucked. I guess I just also look at the other side of pain, the painkiller.
But don't you think if some of these people were being held accountable for... Because we're talking about the housewife who just... I mean, like, when I got my wisdom teeth out 15 years ago, 20 years ago, they just gave me an unlimited supply of OxyContin.
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane. I don't have an addictive personality as I'm drinking all these beers.
But that's what I mean.
But I don't... But I hated how it made me feel. I took one and I threw them out. I'm saying there are people like that.
But
that
I almost want the government... Like, to me, like, yes, I'm excited that these Pfizer people, like, all these people go to jail. But I want the senator... Like, I want to know who took that money more.
I want to know all of it.
But that's what I mean. Like, you talk about Mitch McConnell. Like,
the lobbyists.
The lobbyists. Like, those are the people, to me, that are even more dangerous. The drug companies, that's like, you know, yes, they dropped the atomic bomb, but someone ordered it. And, like, not only did someone order it, someone perpetuated it and then got so ingrained in the American psyche of what makes money that they deterred what would stop it, which is mental health.
For sure. There's all these issues of it. There's so many layers, but nobody's ever been held accountable because they're like, the worst case scenario, I pay like one third of what I made. You know, it's not that big of a deal.
It's good that this guy's probably going to jail. For sure.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. I want to talk about some local news and some more lightning round questions.
Charlie loves his local news.
We're getting rid of plastic bags in New York City, yes! I think, starting next year. And you're going to have to pay 5 cents in New York City if you want a paper bag. There are some exemptions, takeout food, a couple other things. Is the panel planning on paying 5 cents for a paper bag, or do we all have our canvas bags ready to go?
I've got a sensible tote or six.
We all have like 20 totes that have been given to us at conferences or trade shows.
It's the number one swag item. It holds the other swag.
Exactly.
It's time to get them out of the closet. What do you think, Steve? You ready to get rid of the plastic bag?
Is it like the old bottle deposit law? If you bring back the paper bag, do you get your 5 cents back?
No. They should have. Apparently, a paper bag is almost as bad as a plastic bag. It's not like the green alternative. Like the amount of water and energy that goes into making the paper is also really bad. So they should have banned both of them, but they didn't.
What's the status of the in this city of the plastic straw? Have they done something?
It's gone.
Did they ban it here?
I had a fucking plastic straw in LA, guys. This bullshit
did that upset you?
Crumbled in my mouth.
A paper straw.
It was like a compostable plastic situation. Now, I have my own reusable straws. I happen to forget it. I was like, this is why we need our reusable ones, because this was fucking terrible.
What are the reusable made of?
I have aluminum, and then I have a hard plastic, like silicone thing.
Does that change the straw experience?
You know, you get used to it.
Yes, of course.
Steve is concerned.
Why do you think we don't drink everything out of the cup of a Moscow Mule?
I am an iced coffee aficionado. I'm a cold brew aficionado. I've gotten used to my reusable straw. They make them in silicone too. That's nice.
But you carry it with you, like
like a toothbrush. I do.
You gotta. Here's what you do, Steve. Here's how you carry around your reusable straw. You put it in your canvas bag that you already have to be carrying.
Guys, and when I go to the grocery store, literally, I show up with my plastic or with my reusable canvas bags, and I unload all of my groceries because I load the groceries in the canvas bag. And then always they try to get me a plastic bag to put the shit in. And I'm like, you saw me take my canvas bag with my groceries, unload them, and then now you're trying to give me a plastic bag. It's very upsetting.
Here's something that I'd like to ban in New York City. Amazon boxes. Why can't my Amazon guy bring it in the same packaging that the Fresh Direct guy brings it in?
What is that?
A plastic bin that he opens up like this.
Yeah.
Oh, just reuses. Like a bin.
Why do I need a fucking giant box for my daughter's hair ties? It makes no sense. And it comes in, it is insane. And
To be fair, her hair ties are huge.
Well, she's a giant, a big head. She comes by naturally. But they're this big. And the box, it's like old CDs. And it's not just my apartment. Everybody in my building.
Yeah, it's insane. Around Christmas, it's insane.
Oh, my God. I mean, if you walk into, like, one of those big buildings in New York, there's, like, it's almost the size of the building, like, how much the mailroom is stacked with Amazon boxes. Like, how is that okay? But a Trader Joe's plastic bag, like, it just seems like we're, again, it's, like, the wrong, like, right idea, wrong thing.
That would involve penalizing
Amazon
for anything ever.
Ever. They don't even pay fucking taxes. So, like, it's. You know, again, it's like I'm for it, but it seems like a little bit of a Band-Aid on a wound.
Now it's time to talk about my favorite pet issue, which I've been talking about on this podcast for years, finally passed. Congestion pricing is coming to New York City.
Thank you guys for your applause to make Charlie's day better.
I'm glad there aren't too many motorists here who live in the Upper West Side. I went to a town hall meeting.
He did. I was like home with both of our children, like having the worst day. He's like, babe, I gotta go. And I was like, go, run free, my love.
And I got on the news. I got on ABC.
He did. He was so excited.
I got on ABC talking about it. So we're on 42nd Street here, but if you drive south of 60th Street, you're going to have to pay $12 maybe. And now there's sort of a million exemptions that people are trying to get. The cops are trying to say, well, we shouldn't have to pay because we're cops when they drive their personal vehicles in, because cops couldn't take the subway. That would be ridiculous for them to take the subway to get to work. But anyway, congestion pricing's coming. We're going to have less cars on the road, more money to fix the subway, better air quality, and bike lanes everywhere you can see.
Did you have a question, babe, or you want to end on that?
I just wanted to do an insert.
Really, mostly gloating is what you've done.
I mean, for me, I've heard enough. I mean, Kamala Harris, Charlie Todd, 2020. I mean,
the big deal.
Now, Wilson, I mean, the devil's in the details now. There's this panel that's been set up, and everybody's trying to get exemptions, and hopefully there won't be too many exemptions. I get, for disabled is maybe the only exemption that I think makes sense.
We got to get those licenses and sell them at a high price, you know?
The exemption licenses?
Oh, hell yeah.
That's called a placard. All right, maybe one of the last questions. Bill de Blasio, our mayor here, last local question. He keeps going to Iowa and New Hampshire, and nobody gives a shit. Steve, how is de Blasio polling right now, our mayor?
There was Monmouth poll this week. He did hit 1%.
He hit 1%.
And here's the thing. The rules for if he were to go forward with this, the rules for inclusion in the first debate, which is coming up in about 2 months, they've got a list of, you know, a dozen polls, and you got to hit 1% in three of them. So he's one third of the way there.
Steve, what is the percentage of New Yorkers who want de Blasio to run?
More don't than do.
Yeah, I mean, it's like 75% say no, right?
It's fascinating to me. I mean, this is Giuliani ran, obviously didn't go that far, but, you know, he ran, right after 9/11, incredibly popular. You know, he was reelected in 1997 in the city with, I think, 56% of the vote. De Blasio, more than 70% on paper, an incredibly popular mayor, but complete lack of energy from the folks who elected him.
We don't want our running New York is a fucking huge job. You don't go run for president. Stop.
What about Bloomberg? How's Bloomberg? Is Bloomberg?
I think Bloomberg got a sense that Biden was running and said, I'll pass. And that's
he doesn't need it.
He's like, there's too many old white B names.
I say
Bernie
that's
Biden
it, but
and Bloomberg.
If,
no, thank you.
If it's open in 2024, he'll be 82. Maybe he'll go.
Oh, you know?
Fucking silent generation.
All right, we need to wrap this up.
Bloomberg pickled herring, 2024.
All right, guys, let's give it up for our fantastic panel tonight: Michael Hartney, Adam Pally, and Steve Bernacki. Thank you guys for coming. We'll have another show on May 29th right here, Wednesday night, 7:30, same time, same place. And in the meantime, please don't forget to vote
in midterm elections.
Good night, everybody.
Cody and Charlie and a few of their friends chug a couple beers and talk politics. It's better when you do beer then.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.